How are you today?
How are you feeling?
I'm getting better a little bit, yeah. I think. It's a shame. So we're on Daf Chaf Beis on the Beis. About one third through the Daf. And you'll see about, let's say, 15 lines down from the top, maybe less. It'll say, Alai Rachel. And we discussed yesterday the fact that Eino Isha Mesa El Baila, that the one who suffers the most anguish at the loss of this woman when she goes on to the next world is her husband. And the Marsha says that this is a reference to Ishtar Rishona, the first wife, because we said that there's a special relationship, a Krisis Bris, a Koras Ruach, in that relationship between a husband and his first wife. Very unique. And in the case of Yaakov, it says, Mesolai Rachel, because he can only find Koras Ruach, that special existential connection, relationship with Rachel. So usually what I do every morning is that I review yesterday and then I tell you where to look in the Gemara. That's my style. So at the beginning of this year I never tell you where to look because you never know where I'm quoting. It's only a kind of a review. Now here's an interesting question. In the case of Elimelech and Naomi, it would seem that although she could marry somebody else, but nevertheless, when Elimelech, her first husband, died, it made such an impact on her that it was very, very difficult for her. She suffered a tremendous amount of anguish. And yesterday we had a discussion about what is this unique relationship called Koras Ruach. What does it mean, Koras Ruach? So he says the following here in the name of the Ben Yehoyada, as we've mentioned many times, the Ben Ish Chai. He says that in that unique relationship called Eshes Ni'urim, you know, the wife of his youth, he makeres tivo umizgo. She gets to know really his essence. There are no bars here. He's very open with her and shares with her all of his desires, all of his dreams in life, and she knows how to relate to him on that very deep level in terms of what his whole worldview is and what the whole essential nature. Now, as far as Kriyas Yamsuf is concerned, so we mentioned yesterday that when it says Koshas Ivugam ki Kriyas Yamsuf, that getting a man together with a woman in a marriage relationship is like changing nature, the Gemara says that that applies to a zivug sheni, the second marriage. But in the case of the first marriage, that's already arboim yom kodem yitzirus havlad. There's a baskol that already has announced before the creation of the fetus that bas ploni liploni. So I wanted to share with you a comment here in the footnote in the name of the Torah Chaim. The pasuk that the Gemara quotes here is Elokim Moshiv Yechidim Baisa. And you remember that was a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And now the Gemara is interpreting that as a reference to Zivug Sheni, the second marriage. He says the language of Moshiv Yechidim Baisa or Baisa is very appropriate because we're talking about a widow who's marrying a widower. In other words, he's an almon, she's an almana. This is a second marriage for both of them. And therefore it's called Moshev Yechidim Besa, that God gives a home for two Yechidim. Both of them are individuals. Both of them are lonely. Both of them have lost a spouse. Nosru Shneam Yechidim Mibnei Zugam. Both of them have been left alone without their spouse. Voshivam, and now God brings them together, Leos Bayis Echad, so they're together in one home. And now the Pasuk says that it's Motzi Asirim Bikosharos. So the Taras Chaim says, what does this word Bikosharos mean? He says Kosharos is a combination of two smaller words, Bechi and Shiros. Like the Jewish people, when they went out of Mitzrayim, there was both Bechi, crying, and Shiros, and song. There was Bechi for the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim were crying because they were destroyed. And Shiros, the song of jubilation, was Yisrael. He says, "Kmo chein bo shavas yechidim beisa yesh bechi lemesim v'sherus v'shiros l'chaim." And as he's saying that there's something bittersweet here in a second marriage. Let's say she lost her husband, or he lost his wife. There's a certain sadness here, but at the same time, there's joy in the new marriage. And therefore, kasha zivugam shel adam kekriyas. Why is this being equated to the splitting of the Red Sea? Kemosha sham, just like there in the case of the Red Sea, kasha laKadosh Baruch Hu latbia haMitzrim avur atzolus Yisrael. Right, the Chazal say that. That Maisi Yodim Tov V'Yam, that God, the angels declared in front of God that your creatures are now being drowned. So that's a certain sadness that the evil people have to be destroyed. But yet at the same time, with this Tvia B'Yam of the Mitzrim, of the enemies, there was Shira for Klali, so they were saved. Is kmochein kasha bi'enov lidchos adam echad b'shvil lezaveges ishto im acher. In a sense, God had to bring about this second marriage through the loss of one of a spouse in the first marriage, and that's the bechi element here, and that's difficult. But at the end of the day, there is a shira, there's a song, and there's a joy in the second marriage. So I don't know if you've ever participated in a second marriage. There's a certain extra element of emotion at a second marriage, probably because of this unique, you know, overlap of both sadness, because this whole situation came about. Again, I'm not talking about a divorce. I'm talking about an alman, a person who lost his wife, or she lost her husband. So it's through this death and mourning that this second marriage came into existence. But on the other hand, it's a special simcha that you take two lonely people and you put them together in hopefully what will be a happy marriage. And that's the shira of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and therefore it's compared to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf has both the negative element that Maisi Yodav Tovim Bayam, and has the positive element that Klal Yisrael are being spared. And here too, there's the death of the first spouse, and now this new marriage relationship. Okay, where are we up to for today? So if you'll count down, I think about, let's say, 15 lines down from the top, you'll see the two words, Olai Rachel, if you have the same print that I have. That doesn't mean you do, but it's helpful if you do. I'm not sure. Somebody told me that the art school has a different Surah Sadaf. Do you have a line that starts with Olai Rachel? You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Steinbeck has a different Surah.
Yeah, that's a whole different
Surah Sadaf.
15 lines down.
12, 15? 14. You know, I'm not so good with my eye.
Nine up, I mean, nine up from the
Olai Rachel.
14, yeah.
So this is Ein Roenos Song. And the Mishnah back on Chaf Beis told us that there's certain moments where we're not allowed to see the king. He has to have his own privacy. And the reason for that is because he's involved in some action which is a little bit demeaning, you know, to someone of stature, but every human being is a physical being. So, for example, if he's naked in a bathhouse, you're not supposed to see him. Even when he takes a haircut, you're not allowed to see him because even a haircut is a little bit demeaning on some, you know, sensitive level, on some level of edelkeit, of sensitivity. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon a discussion about haircuts. But not haircuts in general. In general, you know, the topic of haircutting is most relevant to one particular Masechta in Shas, which we're not learning, although it will come up a little bit. Which Masechta?
Nazik,
correct. And you really have to know all the laws of haircuts for a Nazir. Haircutting also comes very relevant to Masechta Avodah Zarah because of the Isur B'chukosem Lo Teilechu. The Goyim, the idol worshippers, had very particular ways of cutting their hair and growing their hair, and we're not allowed to imitate those. But here in our sugya, we're discussing haircutting from perspective of yofi, of beauty. And the reason for that is because the Torah says that certain specific members of Klal Yisrael, like the king, for example, have to appear in a very beautiful way. That's why a king is going to have to take a haircut on a pretty frequent basis, on a regular basis. Now, how frequent is frequent? Torah Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa, this is really shocking to me anyway. Melech mistapir b'chol yom. The king has to take a haircut on a daily basis. I don't know how much hair you can cut from one day to the other. Then we get to Kohen Gadol. There too, the Torah requires that the Kohen Gadol appear in front of his staff of Kohanim. You know, we have what's called the Mishmeres Kohuna. And we divide up the Kohanim into various shifts or groups. And each group would serve for a full week in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim really knew way, way in advance exactly when their week would be, you know, depending on which Mishpacha they were part of. And the Kohen Gadol would appear to a new group on a weekly basis. And therefore, Kohen Gadol may Erev Shabbos li Erev Shabbos. He should take a haircut on a weekly basis on Friday. And he should not delay beyond Erev Shabbos to take the haircut. And it's interesting because this haircut that the Kohen Gadol has to take on a weekly basis, Erev Shabbos li Erev Shabbos, that also is a cue of Kavod Shabbos, but now we're talking about Kavod Kohen Gadol. So we have Kavod Malchus, and that requires a daily haircut. And then we have the Kavod and the awe that we have to for the Kohen Gadol, that requires that the Kohen Gadol take a weekly haircut. Then we go down one notch, and we're up to the Kohen Hedjot. The Kohen Hedjot has to take a haircut once every 30 days. He's not allowed to have a full 30-day period of time pass by, and he hasn't taken a haircut. The Ran makes a comment that this din that applies to number one, a melech, a kohen gadol, and the tisporis, the haircuts they have to take, he says this is not a mitzvah shel Torah. There's no special mitzvah, a bracha that he has to make on taking a haircut. It's a din of kavod. However, he says the Ran, we're not sure, we're going to have a long discussion about this, so make a note of it now, whether or not the Kohen Hedjot, who has to take a haircut once every 30 days, that might actually be a Doraisa halacha. And it's not related to Kavod. So we'll have to see where in the Torah does the Torah enjoin the Kohen Hedjot to take a haircut every 30 days without allowing a 30-day period to pass without a haircut. Now let's talk about the Mishmoros of Kohuna. As I said before, the Kohanim were divided up into various groups. How many groups? Moshe Rabbeinu divided up the Kohanim into 8 different groups. There were four mishpachos that came from Elazar HaKohen, and four that came from Itamar, because Nadav Aviv were already gone. So Sach HaKol in total he had 8 mishmaros. And this went on and on and on until the time of Shmuel HaNavi. At the time of Shmuel HaNavi, he divided them into 24 mishmaros. And the Gemara in Titus is going to have a long discussion why Shmuel did such a thing, and he got the okay later on from David HaMelech. Each one of the mishmaros had what was called an appointed Rosh Echad HaMemuna Al HaMishmar, one person who would oversee and make sure that everything was going smoothly in that mishmeres. And the mishmeres would go up to Yerushalayim in order to serve in the Mikdash. And every single mishmeres had its Shabbos, its week, with one Shabbos in it. So that if you have 24 mishmaros, then you divide up the year into two halves, and each mishmeres would get a week here and a week there. We're still short 2 weeks, and those 2 weeks were dedicated to special avodos that had to be done by special kohanim. But as far as the mishmeres is concerned, each mishmeres had 1 week in half of the year, another week in the other half of the year, and that week would always include Shabbos in it. In fact, from Shabbos to Shabbos, they did what's called Chilufei HaMishmaros. There was a Mishmar Yotze and a Mishmar Nichnas. So one group of Kohanim would go in, and the other group of Kohanim would replace them. And this went on and on throughout the entire year. The Rambam dedicates almost an entire chapter to Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the fourth chapter, to this discussion about the Mishmaros. Okay. So in light of that introduction, let's go through these three persona, these three individuals. First, we start with the Melech. The king has to take a haircut on a daily basis. And this is derived from a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi, Melech b'yofo sechezena einecha. We, einecha is in the singular, is a reference to each individual member of Klal Yisrael. He has to behold the yofi of the Melech. He sees the beauty of the Melech. And therefore, if the king is so perfectly kempt, you know, that he has a daily haircut, then he radiates a certain special countenance of Yofi, and they should always be seeing his Yofi and never see that his hair is grown. We're going to see later on that to take what we call, in my childhood here, they used to call it a tisporet efes, that's when they mama shave your head off, that's awesome. That you're not allowed to do. So there are going to be all sorts of halachas about the size and the length of the hairs, but on a daily basis, that's exactly going to be what the length of the hair is. Now, it's very interesting that this pasuk in Yeshaya is quoted at the end of a Sechta Yuma for another halacha. And that has to do with a chasan and a kala. Now, normally, on Yom Kippur, there are very strict prohibitions about beautifying yourself. Like, for example, what did he say? Sorry, I didn't hear you. So, in another event, in the case, for example, of a kala, because she has to look beautiful for her chasan, and this might apply for the first 30 days of the marriage, therefore, be yofia. She's allowed to be yofi, and she's allowed to, on Yom HaKippurim, take care of our cosmetics, you know, in a way that for you and I would be awesome because of this very same concept of yofi, a special din of yofi that applies to a chasan and a kala for the first 30 days. So you'll take a look at that gemara if you ever get a chance. It's a sugya that's also based on the very same pasuk. Now we go on to the Kohen Gadol. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut weekly, the Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos? Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hoel u'mishmaros mischadshos, otherwise known as mischalfos. Every Shabbos there's a mishmeres, a group of Kohanim that complete their service of that week, and they are replaced by another group of Kohanim. Now, how do we know how often the Kohen Gadol would actually appear in front of his servicemen, meaning the Mishmar, the Anshei Mishmeres. There's no guarantee that any members of the Mishmeres would see him on a daily basis, but one thing was absolutely sure: they would see him at least on Shabbos, because there was special avodos, and there was a tremendous burden of avoda in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, and the Kohen Gadol would no doubt appear in the Beis Hamikdash for the purpose of supervising those avodos, and sometimes he himself did the avoda on Shabbos. So from one Shabbos to another, we would assume that the Kohanim would definitely encounter the Kohen Gadol, they would see him, and he would have to appear because of his special kavod, that he's Gadol Mi'echav HaKohanim, he's greater than all the other Kohanim, and he would have to make sure that on Erev Shabbos, right before the Mishmeres would encounter him, he had taken a haircut. In the footnote here, he quotes the Aruch Laner. His name was Etlinger, I don't know if you ever heard of him, and he lived about 150 years ago. He writes that Ain't Tzorach HaKohen Gadol Lios B'yeis Chilufei HaMishmaros, although he doesn't have to be there exactly at the moment when they replace the, you know, when the ingoing Mishmeres replaces the outgoing Mishmeres, but nevertheless, Kevon Shakohen Gadol HaYerogil La'avod B'Shabbosos, it was almost definite that on Shabbos you would see the Kohen Gadol doing the Avoda in the Mikdash, and he quotes Yushalmi to that effect. Is Alken Oyuromo so odds? The new Mishmeres would behold or encounter the Kohen Gadol on Shabbos. Therefore, it's very crucial, the Kohen Gadol, because the cover that we have for the Kohen Gadol should look very good when the Mishmeres, the ingoing Mishmeres, the new Mishmeres takes over and they encounter the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. So therefore, Erev Shabbos, he would take his haircut. Then we get to the Kohen Hedjot. And as I said before, the Kohen Hedjot, who is required to take a haircut the latest after a month, but not beyond that, that might be a whole different category. This is not halacha in kavod necessarily. It might be, we don't know, but it might just be a pasuk in Chumash or somewhere in Tanakh that's going to teach us that the Kohen Hedjot, a regular rank and file Kohen, should not go more than a month or 30 days without a haircut. Dixiv, where is the source for such halacha? Now, Rabosai, just by way of introduction, when you're dealing with something like kavod, then you talk about the Rabbanon, the Chachamim will try to evaluate and define how you achieve kavod. So it's really the Rabbanon who is setting up the parameters and the requirements for kavod. How often does a melech have to take a haircut? How often does a Kohen Gadol have to take a haircut? These are all rabbinic laws. But when you get to derive something from a pasuk, as we'll soon see in the case of a Kohen Hedjot, then it becomes much more rigid, so to speak. There's much less room for using logic and saying, well, you know, it applies this time, it doesn't apply that time, maybe there's a reason why the Kohen Hedjot doesn't want to take a haircut, we can allow him, and so forth and so on. You know, there's a lot less flexibility in the case of a din d'oraisa of a Torah law. Why? Because we cannot make necessarily logical exceptions or calculations. So I'm just saying that, which is a general introduction to Shas, but certainly an introduction to our sugya. We're going to see that in the case of Kohen Hedjot, this halacha that he can't go 30 days without a haircut is a d'oraisa halacha. And where does it derive from? So you and I know that when you analyze the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, you have 13 different ways of doing so. That's called the Yigimel Midol Shatorah Nidreshes Bahen, and one of them is called the Gzera Shav. So here we have, now I'm using a word to deliberately mislead you, okay, I'm telling you right now, we have a classic Gzera Shav, okay, that's misleading. What's the Gzera Shava? So we're going to focus our attention on the word para. Para means to let your hair grow wild. And the word para appears twice in the Torah, in Tanakh. Once in Yechezkel, And another time in Parshas Noso, in the Parsha of Nozi. Let's go through the two verses, both of which have the same common word, para. Now, Yechezkel HaNavi dedicates an entire chapter to the laws of Kohanim. And this is the chapter that we read, if I'm not mistaken, the Haftorah for Parshas Emor. V'rosham lo yigalechu upera lo yishalechu kasom yiksevu esrashehem. Now this verse is made up of three parts. Let's go through the three parts. The first part is V'rosham lo yigalechu. That's called what I said before, a tisporis ephes. You know, when you take a machine and you just take off all the hair. That's a baldy. That they're not allowed to do. So a Kohen is not allowed to have a baldy haircut. He has to have some hair on his head. However, upera lo yishalechu. He should not send out a pera. Pera means wild hair. So where is the middle ground between the two? He's not bald, but he's not full of wild hair. So that's the last part of this pasuk, which the Gemara is going to take apart piece by piece. Kasom yiksemu esrasheim. They have to cut down their hair. And the Gemara is going to say to cut down the hair means that the hair should be long enough that, let's say, I think it's called a follicle in English, I'm not sure, but the point from which the hair comes out, if you would flatten the hair, it would reach the next hair. It would not go beyond it. So it's like a hair that joins two follicles, if you follow it. So anyway, we're going to get into that whole sugya later on, exactly what constitutes kasam yiksemu esra shehem. And the Gemara is going to analyze that this pasuk should be split into two parts. The beginning of the part of the pasuk is referring to all Kohanim. The last part of the pasuk is referring specifically to the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol, by cutting his hair on a weekly basis, he's going to have very short hair. That's called kasam yiksemu esra shehem. But again, not no baldies, but he's going to have very short hair. So what word in this pasuk is critical for our mechanism called Gzeirah Shavah? The word upara. And that word appears in the Torah in Parshas Noso, in the Parsha of, you guessed it, Nazir. And we're going to equate now the Nazir with the Kohen Hedjot, which is the first part of the pasuk in Yechezkel is referring to a Kohen Hedjot. Ksiv Hacha, here in Yechezkel, referring to the Kohen Hedjot, it says, Pera lo yishalechu, they shouldn't send out their hair, meaning have it grow too long. Uksiv hasam, and it says there in Nazir, Gadel Pera Sha'ar Rosho, or Sa'ar Rosho, so that the Nazir has to let his hair grow. Now, it's really interesting because the Nazir has two mitzvahs. One is a losase and one is an essay. The losase says he's not allowed to cut his hair. The essay is that he has to cut his hair. When does the losase terminate and the essay begin? When does it depart, so to speak? Yeah. And the answer is 30 days. So for 30 days, the Nazir is not allowed to touch his hair. But after that 30-day period is ended, then he has a mitzvah to cut his hair. There's a whole sugya masechta nazir based on the parasha in Naso about what you do with the hair after he cuts it off. So now we have pera in the case of nazir. He's required to grow a pera. In the case of a kohen hedjot, he's not allowed to grow a pera. Pera lo yishalechu. Malahalon, just like over there in the case of Nazir, Shloshim Yom. And again, the Gemara is going to try to analyze where we come up with the number 30. But for 30 days, he's a Nazir. He's not allowed to cut his hair. He has to grow a pera. Afkan here too, in the Torah requires of a Kohen Hedjot that he has to cut his hair. It's cutting his hair in such a way that he won't create a pera. And what was a pera in the case of Nazir? When did it become a pera? Up to 30 days. So if he grows his hair up to 30 days, that's called pera. And he's fulfilled his mitzvah in the case of a Nazir of Gadel pera, he's grown a pera. In the case of a Kohen Hedjot, it says pera lo yishalech, which means he grows his hair for 30 days, but he's not allowed to grow his hair beyond the 30 days. Why? Because beyond the 30 days, he violates the Isur Pera Lo Yishalechu. So again, the Torah is really telling me that the Kohen Hedjot has to cut his hair after the 30-day period has ended. This would seem to be a Do'oraisa, because a Gzeres Shova has the status of a Do'oraisa. So here I want to point out to you the Ran, because I said to you before that I was tricking you, and this was a classic Gzeres Shova. Says the Ran, this is not a classic Gzeres Shova. A Gzeres Shova is only an equation between two verses that are in the Torah itself. But where is the verse Pera Lo Yishalechu? Is it in the Torah? Is it in the five books of Moses? No. It's in the Navi, in Yechezkel Navi. Says the Ran, when you take a word from the Navi and you use it to shed a light on a pasuk in Chumash, or vice versa, then you're not operating with what we call a Gzeres Shova, but with a different methodology. And again, all this may seem insignificant to you, but believe me, this is going to be absolutely crucial in our sugya. We're dealing now with something called a Gilui Milsa. I mean, this I have to write on the board. Where do we have... I haven't used the board in a long time. Oh, let's see.
That green one's not working out.
No, this is not working
out.
All right, so... All right, Steve, don't bother yourself. So just write down Gilui Milsa. That's Gimel Yud Lamed Vav Yud. Oh, that's mine. Okay. And Milsa is Mem Yud Lamed Tav Aleph. Gilui Milsa. Now, I'll give you an example, a classic example of a Gilui Milsa. If you've learned, or if you'll ever learn the beginning of Bava Kamma, the Torah says in the parsha of Shar Hamuad or Shar Tam, it says Ki Yigach Shar Ish Shari Eyu. What does Ki Yigach mean? Does it mean the animal gores with its horns, or does it mean the animal pushes with its body? And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. What does the word Negicha mean? There's Negifa and then there's Negicha, and the Gemara goes through all of Tanakh to try to prove from various psukim what does the word Negicha mean. Well, what does the word Negifa mean? Ki Igov. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, based on Tanakh, that we can shed a light on what the Torah has in mind. That's called a Gilui Milsa. Gilui Milsa means that when you don't know what the Torah means, you open up Tanakh, and you look for psukim in Tanakh that use the same adjectives or verbs and so forth, and from that equation in etymologically, you could derive an interpretation of the Torah itself. That's called a Gilui Milsa.
How's that different from
How's that different from a Gzeres Shova? He says the following, that a Gilui Milsa is more or less like a Svara. It's kind of a logic. It's not technical. It's not absolutely what word do I want to use? It's not it's like, for example, let's say you're a, what's it called? Not an actuary. What's it called? An accountant, right?
Oh.
An accountant.
Yeah.
So in accountancy, again, I'm not an accountant. I never took a course in accountancy. But I mean, just to try to bring it home, if I would ask you as an accountant, you know, how much taxes, let's say, I have to pay to the American government, you're bound by certain rules. That's like a Gzeres Shova kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But if I would ask you, let's say, at what point in my life should I collect Social Security, then I don't know if you're bound by any rules. You know, you can give me your advice, your sound recommendation. You may even have a computer program and try to get an idea. So that's the difference between a Gzeres Shova and a Gilui Milsa. A Gzeres Shova is something that's absolutely binding, it's technical, there's no flexibility. You know, it operates by rules and regulations. And a Gilui Milsa is something different. A Gilui Milsa means, you know, this is based on my research, this is the impression that I get. You know, maybe tomorrow you'll do more research and you'll come to a different conclusion. So a Gilui Milsa is much more intuitive in that sense, but yet it's less structured. It's less structured. You follow what I mean? It's less it's less regulations. So that's the Ran over here. And I want you to keep this Ran in mind as we go through the sugya, because my question is always going to be whether or not the requirement of a Kohen Hedgel to take a haircut once every 30 days, is that a Doraisa halacha? If not for the Ran, if I were to learn this Gemara as a strict, formal Gzeira Shava, it's a Doraisa. This is not a rabbinic institution. But in the light of the Ran, that we're not dealing with a classic Gzeira Shava, we're only dealing with a kind of a Gili Milsa, meaning this is the logic that if I look in Yechezkel and I look in Naso and I see a certain similarity, I come to the conclusion that the Kohen Hedgel has to, you know, has to take a haircut every 30 days. But that's already a different halacha, and it might even be Durabbanon, it's possible. Now let's get back to the paradigm case of a Nazir. How do we know that a Nazir is enjoined from cutting his hair for a 30-day period of time? So that's based on a Mishnah in Nazir, which Gemara quotes now. Snan Nami, we learned in a Mishnah at the beginning of a Sefer in Nazir. And it says in the Mishnah that Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, that when a person says, quote, Hareini Nazir, end of quote, I am a Nazir, he will be a Nazir for 30 days. Again, he can change the rules of the game. He could say, I want to be a Nazir for 3 months, I want to be a Nazir for 12 months, I want to be a Nazir for the rest of my life. But Stam Nazirus, if he doesn't qualify, then the assumption is he'll be a Nazir for how many days?
30.
Now, it's
always at least 30.
Correct. There's no such thing as Nazirus less than 30, as far as I know. Okay, you could be Mekabel a quasi-Nazirus for less than 30 days, but that's not real Nazirus. You can take upon yourself in a neder that you'll be, you know, you'll enjoin yourself for taking a haircut for 2 weeks or going into a cemetery, but that's not a real Nazirus. You can borrow the term Nazir, but Nazirus means 30 days. Now, how do we know that Nazirus is 30 days? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that if a person says Hareini Nazir, he's a Nazir for 30 days. Well, the Gemara says something amazing here, and that is a Gematria. Usually a Gematria is used for drashos, for agadita, for philosophical calculations conclusions, right? Conclusions. But here, in a pure halachic issue that we're addressing, how long a Nazir is a Nazir, we're going to use a Gematria. Omar Av Masna, the Omar Kro, Kadoshiyah, the Torah in the Parsha of Nazir says that he will be holy. In other words, Nazirus is an expression of holiness. It's what you call Kedushas HaGavra. The Gavra is sanctified. Now, if you take the Gematria here, the Gematria Tlosin Havi. How do you get Tlos? So you have two yuds in the word year, that's 20. And you have two hays, that's 5 times 2 is 10. 10 and 20 is 30. So the total Gematria of year is 30. And the Torah is telling you that the minimum amount of Kiddush of sanctity is a 30-day period of sanctity during which he's not allowed to take a haircut. So if in the case of Nazir he has to grow his hair para, because the Torah says Gadel Pera, and Pera means 30 days, so too here, when it says Pera Loi Shalechu, which means that he shouldn't grow his hair, in the case of a Kohen Hedjot in Yechezkel, beyond Pera, it means beyond 30 days. So if by the end of the 30 days he hasn't taken a haircut, then for sure he's got to take a haircut then. Now it doesn't say anywhere that the Kohen Hedjot is enjoined from taking a haircut more frequently. No, if he, you know, he has his favorite Italian barber and he wants to take a haircut every so often, that's fine. But he's not allowed to let his hair grow beyond the 30 days because the Torah says, "Upera lo yishalechu."
Is this just when he comes for his mishmar that he couldn't have it for more than 30 days? But if he's home,
excellent. So that's going to be later. That's going to be the basic sugya here. I'll just give you a little clue. The Torah says that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine. So when does that apply? If he's on the Mishmar, he's on duty, or a Kohen in general can't drink wine? If I come to the conclusion that a Kohen is enjoined from drinking wine only during his Mishmeres, then we may want to make an equation, that's going to be the sugya that we're about to embark upon, in the case of Gadol Pera, that Pera lo yishalechu, that if he's in the Mishmeres, he's on duty, then he has to take a haircut every 30 days. But if he's not on duty, you know, it'll be a half a year until his next round in the Mishmeres, then he's not enjoined from taking a haircut. Okay then? So, Steve, you were mechavin to the whole issue of the next sugya. We're going to try to tie it in to whether or not this prohibition of Pera lo yishalechu is doraisa based on the Gzeres Shava, or it's only a gili milsa. So we'll try to see if we can tie in the knots. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. Rav Papa analyzes this pasuk in Yechezkel. It says Upera lo yishalechu ema, perhaps lo lerbu klal. Maybe what the Torah is telling us, in this case again, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, in Yechezkel and Navi, is that he shouldn't allow his hair to grow even 30 days. Even he should be required to take a haircut even more frequently than 30 days. Now, the problem here is that Rav Papa's question seems to completely ignore the Gzeres Shavah. We learned from the Gzeres Shavah to Nazir that just like a Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair for 30 days, the Kohen Hedjet has to cut his hair after the 30-day period. Why does Rav Papa insist that the Kohen has to take a haircut even more frequently? And that's exactly the retort of Abaye to Rav Papa. Iksiv, if we would have said, okay, so he's going to go through the pasuk to try to prove that the Torah is telling him that he shouldn't let 30 days go by. But he doesn't have to take a haircut within 30 days. That's going to be Abaye's answer to Rav Papa. So the Ran says that you see from the question of Rav Papa that we're not dealing with a full-fledged Gzeres Shavah. If we're dealing with Gzeres Shavah, how could you come up with this logical possibility and entertain the requirement of a Kohen Hedjet to take a haircut more frequently within a 30-day period of time, let's say every week or whatever it might be, when the Gzeres Shavah teaches me 30 days? It must be, says the Ran, that the Gemara is telling us that maybe that's Rav Papa's question, that maybe he shouldn't wait until 30 days, but he should certainly have a haircut before he gets to 30 days. And this Gzeres Shavah shouldn't be taken completely. In fact, there's a whole question here, which I'm not going to get into, whether or not the word klal actually appears in the text of the Gemara. We have the word klal in our text, am I right? The Marshal, for example, takes out the word klal, ein ligrosus amila klal, because the word klal sounds like he has to really take a haircut on a regular basis, maybe every week or I don't know how often, but certainly, whereas really what the Gemara is saying is that he shouldn't get up to the 30-day period. Maybe if he wants to take a haircut on day 29, then Rav Papa would say that's okay, but he's not going to wait till 30 days. Now, Abaye's response was that we have to analyze the pasuk very, very carefully. What does the pasuk say? Let's go back to the pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, Upera lo yishalechu. It doesn't say lo yishalchu pera. And Abaye says the following. If it would have said lo yishalchu pera, and pera means 30 days, don't grow your hair, pera, then kidaka amrit, then you have said the right thing, Rav Papa, that you would have to somehow cut your hair before day 30. Why? Because lo yishalchu pera. Don't let your hair grow pera, and pera means 30 days. But hashta d'ksiv l'Torah went out of its way, the Tanakh, to switch around the order of the words, upera, lo yishalechu. So pera is lehevi. In other words, you're allowed to have a pera, but you're not allowed to have yishalechu. So pera is okay, meaning 30 days. But yishalechu, to have it grow beyond pera, is shiluche lo yishalechu. To grow it beyond 30 days, that is prohibited. Okay, now we get to the main sugya for today. Let's just see how we're doing on the clock. Okay. what is the deal with a Kohen in our time? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen is not serving. Does he have to take a haircut every 30 days? Do you know any Kohenim who take a haircut every 30 days? So the whole question sounds odd to us. But within the context of the Gemara, if we derive it from Gzeirah Shavah, and leave out the Ran for a moment, let's assume that this is a full-fledged Gzeirah Shavah, then the Torah itself is telling us that a Kohen is not allowed to grow his hair beyond 30 days. Ihachi, and therefore, based on your Gzeirah Shavah, ha'idnanami, even in our days, in our times, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the halacha that requires a Kohen Hedjah to take a haircut within 30 days, not to let that 30-day go by without a haircut, should apply even without the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because you're telling me that there's a Gzeirah Shavah, and the Torah compares a Kohen Hedjah to a Nazir, and just like the Nazir doesn't take a haircut until his 30th day, so to the Kohen Hedjah takes his haircut after day 30. And that's a requirement that is Do'oraisa. It says, Pera lo yishalechu. Pera means a month's hair growth. Lo yishalechu, you cannot let it grow beyond. Yishalechu means let the hair grow beyond that. He's not allowed to do that. Where does it say in the Pasuk that that's only applicable during the time of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara now backtracks. And the Gemara says, you know what? This requirement to take a haircut every 30 days incumbent upon a Kohen does not apply in our time. Bidumya diyayin. The Torah says in the parasha of Kohen, it says, V'yayin lo yishtu kol Kohen bevom el hachotzer hapnimis. The Torah says that a Kohen who comes into the Chotzer HaPnimis, he comes into the Azora, and he wants to perform the Avoda, Yayin Lo Yishtu, he's not allowed to drink wine. And now the Gemara wants to make the following analogy. The Iser Pera Rosha, which means that he's not allowed to let his hair grow beyond 30 days, should be equated to the Iser of Shtias Yayin, of drinking wine. Ma Yayin, just like in the case of wine, the Torah says, "Lain yo yishtu bevom el chotz apnimis," meaning bisman bia, when he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, who the Osir, then he's enjoined from drinking wine. But shalom bisman bia, if, let's say, he's not doing the avoda, like Steve said before, he's not in the Mishmeres, or how much more so ha'idna today that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, shari, let him drink as much wine as he wants. So too, by virtue of this analogy, af, Prue Rosh, even this prohibition that the Kohen is not allowed to allow his hair to grow beyond 30 days, is that's only Bisman Bia also. That's only if he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash. But Shalom Bisman Bia Shari. But if he's not working in the Beis HaMikdash, he's allowed to let his hair grow. And so too a Kohen Bisman Azeh is allowed to let his hair grow. He doesn't have to take a haircut at the end of 30 days. So I have here a footnote in the Masifta in which he's trying to understand the Gemara in the Kasha and the Gemara in the Maskana. The Gemara in the Kasha thinks that a Kohen Bizman Azeh would have to cut his hair no later than 30 days. And that's based on this Gezeirah Shavah of 30-30, right? That Lo Yishalchu Pera is equivalent to the Pera of the Nazir, and that's 30 days. And then the Gemara just completely rejects it and says, no, let's compare it to Shti As Yayin, which only applies when? B'Shas Bia, when he's working in the Mikdash, and certainly doesn't apply today. What was the Havamin of the Gemara? What was the Maskana? What was the issue that the Gemara was vacillating about? What was the, do you follow? I don't mean what was the issue. The issue is whether a Kohen today has to take a haircut every 30 days. But I'm asking you, what was the yesod? What was the fundamental, the root of the issue? What were the two definitions?
Whether that the 30 days applying to the hair is the same as 30 days applying to the wine. Not the 30 days to the wine, but whether
right
being able to drink wine outside.
So in the Hava Bina, the Gemara thinks, no, that you, a Kohen, no matter whether he's working and whether it's Bizman Azeh, he is not allowed to let his hair grow beyond 30 days. The Gemara says, no, let's equate it to Yayin. Just like Yayin only applies, he's not allowed to drink wine when he's working, when he's in the Avoda. So to the Iser of not growing his hair beyond the 30 days only applies in his Avoda, and it has no application today. So this Ran, which I'm about to share with you, wants to understand, what was the Gemara thinking? It says, Ihochi, if this be the case, Ha'idna Nami. The prohibition against growing your hair in the case of a Kohen Hedge beyond 30 days should apply even today without the Kohen. It says, no, Dumya Diyayin. Well, I mean, Dumya Diyayin. Why are we compelled to say Dumya Diyayin? What was the logic here back and forth in the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara? And this is a very difficult piece of Gemara to understand what the Gemara was vacillating. And if not for the Ran, again, the Ran lived many, many centuries ago. He was in the time of the Rishonim. We would have no clue what the Gemara is vacillating about. Says the Ran the following. Mitchila, initially, Sovra Gemara, the Gemara thought, Shemasha Hejot Mistaper Kol Shloshim Yom, that a Kohen Hejot has to take his haircut 30 days. Ain't there Elamishum Mitzvah Deoraisa? And the Gemara's conclusion was, nay, it's not a mitzvah Deoraisa, it's Mishum Hidur Vikavod Vahumi Dimei Chachamim. He says the following. What is the nature of this Isur that a Kohen Hedge is not allowed to allow his hair to grow more than 30 days? Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa, or is it hidur v'kavod? You remember the cases of Melech and Kohen Gadol, a daily haircut in the case of Melech, or a weekly in the case of a Kohen Gadol. That was kavod and hidur, that we have to have an awe and glorify the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Is that what the Torah is saying about a Kohen Hedjot, that he has to have kavod and hidur, he has to look majestic and beautiful, and therefore let him not grow his hair more than 30 days? Or is it a din d'oraisa, a mitzvah d'oraisa? The Torah requires, just like in the case of a Nazir, he's not allowed to cut his hair within 30 days, he has a mitzvah after 30 days when his Naziris terminates to cut his hair. So too in the case of Hedjot, the Torah says that he has to grow his hair for 30 days, or he's allowed to grow his hair for 30 days, but beyond the 30 days, he has a mitzvah to cut his hair, and we'll compare it to Nazir. So the Ran says the following. Again, there are two ways of understanding this din that a Kohen Hedged is required to cut his hair after 30 days. It's either a loch of Doraisa, it's the Torah requires it, or it's a mitzvah chachamim mishum kavod v'hidur. Says the Ran, it all depends upon how you learn the gzeirah shava. Is the gzeirah shava full fledged gzeirah shava, or is it only a gilui milsa? If we're talking about a full fledged gzeirah shava, then the Torah is basically telling me that the same law that applies to a nazir, namely that 30 day period, applies to a kohen hedjot. You don't have the right to make any sort of exceptions to doraisa. This is where I get back to the question of, you know, calculating someone's taxes for returns, right? So these are the rules. You know, the rules. You have income. You have to. It's taxable income. Blah 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 blah. So you're bound by the rules, and the rule is that just like in Nazir, you've got to allow your hair to grow for 30 days, but you have to cut your hair after 30 days. The same thing applies to a Kohen Hedjot. We have no right to play with the rules and say, well, you know what, it seems to me that logically this requirement should only apply to Shas Avodah, but a Kohen who's not serving in the Beis HaMikdash today doesn't have this requirement of growing his hair and cutting it after 30 days. So therefore the Gemara says, if you're taking this really seriously as a full-fledged Gzeirah Shava and a Dinda and a Mitzvah Doraisa, then that Mitzvah Doraisa should apply to a Kohen independent of his Avodah. simply because that's part of his Kedushas Kahuna, that every 30 days he should cut his hair. That's how the Torah, that's how the Torah wants it to be. And the Gemara answers, name. That's not true. This Gzeirah Shavah is not a real Gzeirah Shavah, because again, as we said before, it's derived from Navi. And that's not a Gzeirah Shavah, but rather it's a Gili Milsa. And it's really just telling me that there's a certain element of Kavod and Hidur in the case of a Kohen. He's serving in the Beis HaMikdash, he's doing the Avodah, he embodies or represents the Avodah, and therefore there's a mitzvah of Hidur and Kavod. And the Rabbanan said, you know what? How long is it? How long is long? You know, it's how long is your hair such that you can still be considered Hidur and Kavod? Up to 30 days. Is then Shaykh Lomar, Shezed Dafka Bizman Bia. Bia means when he goes into the Mikdash. Ubizman Bia Bilvad Nemar Din Zed. The Kavod and the Hidur is a result of his serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll give you an example. Where we find that the Torah has a requirement on the Kohen that is unique to the moments that he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And what's going to be the answer?
Shtiyas Yayin.
Shtiyas Yayin. So now Shtiyas Yayin is going to serve that, you know, that's the missing piece of the puzzle. If I'm looking for a law that applies to Kohen, but it's limited to Shas Avodah, or Shas Bia, if you want to call it that, I found one. I have a precedent. And that's going to be the Isur Shtiyas Yayin. If it would have been a Dindo Raisa, Gzeirah Shavah, then we have no right to say, well, let's make a logical analogy or equation to Shtiyas Yayin. We don't make equations. The Torah says that a Kohen has to take a haircut not later than 30 days. He's not a parallel Yishlach. He's not allowed to let his hair grow beyond 30 days. And that's a din in Kohen. Where does it say that it's Dafka B'Shas Avodah? So when we have a Gzeirah Sakos, we have a Gzeirah Shavah, then we are limited by the rules and the regulations. We cannot make logical conclusions and derivations. But if, on the other hand, we're going to say that this Gzeirah Shavah, as the Ran insists, is not a real Gzeirah Shavah, it's only what? Yeah. Again, I didn't have a black thing. It's only a Gili Milsa. Excellent. Then in the context of a Gili Milsa, you could say that the Gili Milsa here is similar to other laws that apply when a Kohen is serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and the special awe and respect for the Avodah. And that expresses itself, number one, in that he's sober and not drunk, and number two, in the fact that he is beautiful and not unkempt, and therefore every 30 days, when he goes into the Avodah, and he's got very wild hair, that's not appropriate for the Avodah. But in our time when there's no Avodah, then we can certainly allow the Kohen Hedgehog to grow his hair even beyond the 30 days. So let's see the Gemara inside again. The Gemara thinks now at this point that we're dealing and operating within the framework of a real, true, genuine Gzeirah Shavah. And that Gzeirah Shavah sets up dinim and doraisas and mitzvahs that apply even bizman hazeh, even in the absence of avodah. And the Gemara answers, no. Dumya diyayin. We're not talking about Gzeirah Shavah, says the Ran. We're talking only about a Gili Milsa. And the whole din of Kavod and Hidur is only midin takonis chachamim, and this is a way that we respect the Avodah, that the Kohen, when he goes into the Avodah, you know, he wears the big day kahuna, and he has a serious attitude, he's not drunk, and he doesn't have wild hair. He's kempt, you know, he's beautiful. And therefore, Mayayin, Dumya Diyayin, just like in the case of the respect for the Avodah, requires that he be sober and not drink, so too, that applies to Pera, and Yayin is Bisman Bia Hudiyasa Shalom Bisman Bia Shari. If he's not doing the Avodah, then it's Mutter, he can drink away. Is so too, in the case of Gadol Pera, he's allowed to grow his hair. The Kohen doesn't have to be so makpid in our time, or even during the time of the Mikdash, if the Kohen is not doing the Avodah, to make sure that he has cut his hair. Now, I'm just going to give a quick introduction to tomorrow's sugya. The Gemara's sugya tomorrow is really an extension of what we did today. And the Gemara actually wants to prove that a Kohen who's not serving in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say his Mishmeres is 6 months down the line, nevertheless, he's not allowed to drink Yayin. And the whole premise that we've been operating until now, namely that the Isur Shtiyas Yayin applies only to Shas Bia, only when the Kohen is actually doing the Avodah, that's not necessarily true. And it's really going to be dependent on a machlokes tanoim, which is codified here in this braisa. So that's going to be a Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow. And if anyone's interested in a little bit of Sanhedrin Be'iyun, a Mirtz Hashem B'li Neder at 10:30 today. Okay, Ben? Everyone should have a wonderful day. I remember. You said something about Tuesdays, and it's
Just tomorrow. Tomorrow Tuesday.
I won't be here tomorrow.
You won't be here also. Okay. Hopefully, we'll have a Zimu.
Two of them, I guess.
Mitch, do you want to say something about?